3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Monday afternoon. It is absolutely glorious. And, wow, yet another screw-up by the city of Richmond. Hold on a second. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've got my shocked face around here somewhere. Where the heck did I put it? Well, I don't know. I got it around here somewhere. I'll find it, and then I promise, as soon as I can, I will put it on, and I will, I'll act shocked and surprised. Okay, all right. Well, yeah, you got a tax bill, and your taxes, if they're not paid by, what is it, June 16th, then terrible things will happen to you, and the city says, hey, good luck, sorry. What did Dr. Donnie say? Dr. Donnie Avulli, he's not really new anymore, mayor, but I mean, he's newish. And it's funny, he doesn't look newish, but anyway, he's newish. And yeah, so you'll have to call your mortgage company. Okay, because everybody knows how that's a very enjoyable, very easy thing to do. Very easy. Get through to the right people. Now, perhaps some folks who are involved with, say, local lenders. Virginia Credit Union comes to mind. It's all local. I got to figure that they're aware of the situation, so probably be somewhat more receptive. But if your lender is in California, it might be a problem. But not to worry. Dr. Donnie is on the job. I can breathe a sigh of relief. I was listening. First of all, Charles, thank you. Welcome back. Charles Pyle, our afternoon news reporter and anchor and all-around decent human being. So we're happy to have him back. He was conspicuous by his absence for a week. But he has returned and reporting on the absolute gall and temerity of the woefully, grossly incompetent superintendent of the Richmond Public Schools and the equally as incompetent chair of the Richmond School Board saying, oh, it's time for state oversight to end. I got news for you. It's time for state oversight to double down and run the damn school system and kick you people out of the way. Because you, Mr. Superintendent, have failed those students. I mean, this is just barely short of child abuse, isn't it? And the rotating cast of characters on the Richmond School Board, the Board of Education. Look, you folks could not run a pencil sharpener, let alone an entire school system. It's embarrassing. Less than 50% of the children in that system are able to read and write. Where's the improvement?
Well, you know, it used to be even lower.
Okay, well, how about this? How about you circle back once you get past the 50% point? Maybe that's when you can have a conversation. Hey, look, it's a 50-50 shot whether the kid graduates knowing how to read and write. Well, all right. Yeah, you can roll the dice on that one, right? Because you don't really care about the kids. That's become abundantly clear, RPS. But then what? No, nonsense. Release from state oversight, forget about it. I'm telling you, they should eliminate any and all responsibility of the Board of Education and this grossly incompetent excuse for a school superintendent. Get them both out of there. Get them all out of the way. Somebody somewhere should actually pretend that they care about those children. I mean, it's not going to happen. I know. No, I know it's not going to happen. And that's besides the point. I'm allowed to share with people. Exactly what I'm thinking. Oh, you're allowed to share with me as well. The James River Air text line is always available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. All right, shoot me a note over there. Was anybody following our pal John Reed's social media over the weekend? It was interesting to me. No, I'm a big supporter of John's campaign now for lieutenant governor. Obviously, right? You're not surprised by that. Good. But what I will tell you is that a local TV news reader was busy attacking John on John's social media page, and I thought, I thought you guys were supposed to be, like, impartial, you know? You just read the teleprompter, read the news that's presented to you, and then go away. You're not, I mean, are you a reporter? I don't know. And if you are, at least in theory, a reporter, this makes it even worse. But when you're busy attacking somebody and it's all based on your own personal left-wing agenda, that's awful. And it would be equally as wrong if you were in that role and you were attacking somebody based on your right-wing agenda. It really is just inexcusable. And I'd have to think that the news director, I assume they have a news director there. But if that's the case, where's the news director? Shouldn't the news director say, hey, you can still sit here and read the news. That's great. But you got to stop going after people based on your political point of view. You're not supposed to share that. You can have it. I don't think there's anybody here who says, oh, my God, you're not entitled to your opinion. And hell, at this point, everybody knows what your opinion is. But just for appearance's sake, aren't you supposed to pretend at least that you're impartial or not advancing one particular team over the other? A guy like Shapiro, the Times-Dispatch, who is retiring, he's allowed to do that. He is an unapologetic leftist. And he's allowed to be an unapologetic leftist because he's a columnist, right? He's an opinion guy. Now, maybe you don't like his opinion. That's irrelevant. But he's an opinion guy. So he can write his columns based on his opinion. And you could say, my God, I really agree with this opinion. Or, oh, I hate this opinion. Totally up to you. But as an opinion writer, he's allowed to do that. In fact, if he didn't do that, his bosses over there would probably say, you got to step it up a little bit. You're here for your opinion. You're a columnist. If you're a reporter, once again, more than entitled to have your opinion. You're absolutely positively allowed to read and believe and say whatever you want in your private life. But in your role as a reporter, you got to put it aside, at least for the sake of the reporting. So that somebody reading your piece says, well, those are the facts. Here they are. Who, what, when, where, why, how? Yeah, okay. I don't get any sense from the reporter what his or her personal opinion is. That's the way that's supposed to work. So when you have somebody in that role, and they're so active, and I mean actively attacking and demeaning and insulting John, now, maybe I'm more sensitive to it because John's a friend and I like John and all that other good stuff, perhaps. And I'm not really familiar with the guy. But I just thought, man, that's just totally out of line and totally out of place. While I'm busy telling you what you shouldn't do, please, nobody say Happy Memorial Day. Germ, you know this, every year. I don't know how many years you've been with me now. Is it 2 years, 3 years, 12? I don't know, whatever it is. Jeremy is a real live boy, just like Pinocchio. I'm telling you, he really does exist. There's a photo, actually, when he came here to Casa Cats a couple of weeks ago. We had a very important staff meeting here at the house, which involved, Jeremy and Pixie. Oh, and me. Yeah, I was there. I was serving drinks, but nonetheless, I was there, and we did have a very important staff meeting, and we discussed staffing requirements and kibbles as well as bits and tonic water versus sparkling club soda. So, yeah, I mean, it was very important, but we did take a picture, and Jeremy is in that picture. Now, I don't know where it is at this point. I did post it. He gave me full permission. I have the signed release and everything. So it's up there. If you're with me on Facebook, you can go scrolling back. It's what, about 2 weeks ago, Jerm, I think. I think it was about 2 weeks ago you came up here. And, yeah, so you can go and see it. So you can see. I'm not lying to you. Jeremy really, really, really does exist. Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, Jeremy was talking about the nominations for the Best of Richmond This here little show, once again in the running for Best Afternoon Radio Show. Now, I need as many nominations as possible to make sure we make it onto the ballot. So if you haven't yet, would you do me a favor? Visit this website, go.richmond.com/the best, go.richmond.com/the best, and simply nominate The Jeff Katz Show as the best afternoon radio show. In addition to that, we were nominated in two other categories, which were a little shocking, but I'll tell you what they were. Number one, The Jeff Katz Show was nominated as the best place to work. And given that it's me, Jeremy, and Pixie, and I know I didn't nominate us, and Pixie has no thumbs, but I digress. And what was the other one? We were... The Jeff Katz Show also nominated as the best OBGYN practice in all of Central Virginia. And once again, I can tell you I was not involved in that nomination. So the only one I'm asking you for is Best Afternoon Radio Show. But yeah, if you go on to either the Jeff Katz Show on Facebook or Radio Katz on Facebook, you can scroll back and you can see an actual picture of an actual Jeremy right there on the actual page. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Coming up at 3:35, my good friend and yours, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. We gotta talk about James Comey. Apparently, James Comey was picked up by the Secret Service and taken to their Washington field office to have a chat. Good. Comey's a hack. Always has been. And he's just a miserable guy who keeps telling us he wants to go away and live in anonymity, but he won't go away, and he keeps destroying any efforts at anonymity. So, I mean, what are you going to do? But I do want to get Jimmy's sense on Comey's, I think, despicable 8647 crap. And also, did you see the interview? Was it on, I think it was CNBC, Maria Bartiromo? She had Kash Patel and Dan Bongino on. And they talked about a lot of stuff. And Kash Patel said, hey, number one, J. Edgar Hoover building, we're shutting it down. We're just going to shut it down. And we have 11,000, was it 11? I think he said 11,000 out of the 38,000 staff members. And they are all here in D.C., and they got to go. We got to send them back to the field. There's a reason we call them our field offices. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. So they want to send the agents and apparently some other staff. Because first Kash Patel said special agents, and then he was talking about staff, and the number did change. So I don't know what the final number is going to be or the way it's going to be assigned. Is it all FBI special agents? Is it intelligence analysts? Is it support staff? I don't know. But I want to talk with Jimmy about that. I mentioned this great little get-together. Did you or did you not attend the Vail event on Sunday, just yesterday? Virginia Law Enforcement Foundation. I'm going to tell you something. I just think the world of Keith Culver. And while he will tell you it's all the team effort, and I know there are a lot of people at Vail, but Keith has always been my guy. And somebody said to me, are you going this year? I said, I haven't missed one yet. And God willing, you know, I'm going to keep going until it just gets to a point that I can't. But it has grown so much, and I am so, so touched by the number of people that show up there. And it's so nice for me personally. Here's a little ego stroke, I guess. So many people who came up to me that, I got to be very honest, I don't know who they are. And I apologize. But they know who I am. And they know who I am in a good way, which is nice. And then, of course, some wonderful people that I do know. And it's always great to see so many of them. I did get to hang out with my best buddy, Emily Morrissey, for a little bit. At her tent, and Laura Sylvester and her husband Dave at their tent, the Pie Safe Bacon Company. Oh, and Cordelia from Cordelia's Lemonade. We're going to get everybody into the pool, you know what I mean? And then we had a little get-together. We were going to have the Morrisseys over, and then we I convinced Dave and Laura, hey, blow off this really important thing you're supposed to be doing for your business and just come hang out with us and eat and drink and, you know, not make any money that you would have made going there. And they said, oh, okay. So it was a great, great time. Hey, Jeff, was it John's enemy from Channel 12, that little hack Kurt, what's his name? Yeah, you can go on John's page. You'll see it there. It's just absolutely absurd crapola. But again, where's that news director? 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. It is gorgeous. We got a couple of really nice days. Now, tomorrow, I know it's got rain all day. And then we've got partly sunny skies. We're only going to be like in the low 70s, man. And low humidity? Please. That's an absolute game ball right there. You take that one. Did you or did you not hear the news? I got a little giddy when I heard that the United States Secret Service actually helped bring James Comey, the former director of the FBI, to their Washington field office to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and chat just a little bit. Don't know where it's going, but my friend, your friend, Jimmy Galliano, a man who has truly dedicated his life to service. He's devoted his life to serving this country one way or another, an amazing human being. He's got a thought or two, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. I'm so happy that Jimmy is joining us. Jimmy, thank you for being here, my friend.
Jeffrey, good to join you. I've been listening since 3 o'clock, and I got to tell you, I learned a lot about Jeremy. I learned a lot about Pixie and her non-opposable thumbs. I learned about Emily, all the folks that make your show great. I learned a lot about all of them.
Well, thank you. I include you in that. You have brought this show up a notch or 10. And
I don't know about that, Jeff, but I'm just happy to be a part-time part of the greatest show in Central Virginia. So thanks for having me.
Oh, you are too kind. All right, 86-47. Allegedly, former director James Comey is walking down the beach, comes upon this, decides to post it, but no idea what it really means. Do tell, Jimmy. Do tell. What do you think?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, I always want to apply the benefit of the doubt to people. And I've been a critic of former Director Comey. Now, having said that, you know, there have been 9 Senate-confirmed FBI directors in the 117-year history of the Bureau. I served under 4 of them. Comey was the last one that I did before I retired in 2016. And, Jeff, you'll recall, I wasn't on your show back then, but you and I kind of had some passing interest. And back in 2017, I supported Director Comey. I was upset when he got relieved of his duties by then President Trump in his first term. Mm-hmm. And then reality kind of, you know, blew up the narrative. And the reality was the IG reports that came out, the fact that Director Comey had leaked memos to the New York Times, FBI memos, through a surrogate to the New York Times, through his attorney, which was even more cowardly. And then he just went on this crazy train kind of tour. And in 2018, I know you and I have spoken about it before, he was out at the Aspen Ideas Institute. He was being interviewed by Katie Couric, and she asked him point blank, what do you want your legacy to be? And I know, Jeff, he was promoting a book, you know, which came out then, A Higher Loyalty, and where he kind of defended all of his indefensible actions. And he said, I just want to be forgotten. Well, Jeff, I just want to be forgotten. Isn't the highest law enforcement official in the land, which the FBI director is, who is just skipping along a beach, Jeff, and finds a shell formation that spells out 8647. Now, you know, is this something where he's going to go to jail for? No. Is this something that, you know, we have freedom of speech and there, yes, you can interpret things in different ways, but for a former FBI director, a moralistic, sanctimonious, former FBI director to pretend not to know what 8-6 means. Right. Yes, you can argue it means to be removed, but in the mob, it means take him out, you know, 8 miles out of the city, bury him 6 feet under. And for him not to know that or to pretend not to know that, Jeff, it's just BS. You always talk about bat crap crazy. That's exactly what that is. He knew that what he was doing, and I hate to say this, but he's got a new book, you know, coming out, and I don't want to help, you know, promote it. Right. But did he do this, Jeff, just to make a stir? Because you know the old saying in the media, there's no bad publicity when you're trying to get publicity, and that's, I think, what he did.
Well, Jimmy, it is so fascinating that all of these interviews or these spontaneous events, I just encounter these shells. My gosh, I mean, what a gift this is, occur as he is releasing yet another book telling you how much better he is than the rest of us. Right? Isn't that the undertone? You talked about sanctimonious. If this were just a regular guy and he were, I don't know, and he were a dope. He were really honestly a dope. Somebody who hadn't spent his life prosecuting, dealing with organized crime, director of the FBI, where you would know exactly what that meant. Maybe you could say, well, your whole career was in the restaurant industry. 86 means we're out of something. I don't know. Yeah, you were confused. But come on, man. He's just beyond the flipping pale.
Jeff, I've been speaking about this. I'm going to be writing about it shortly for a number of different outlets, and I get some pushback. And it's not just from the detractors and the trolls, because a lot of them exist out there, or even the partisans right. and the sycophants and the shills. I'm getting some pushback, and I say, look, I've been a law enforcement officer for 25 years of my life, and I might be embarrassed to admit it, I've been a politician. I understand the business of politics, and I understand the business of law enforcement. Yep. For this guy to pretend that he didn't understand this, and when people go, well, you know, he's attacking Trump, and you know, Trump is bad, he did this, and he did that, and I say, but the president is a politician. And I'm not excusing politicians, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, politicians don't have a standard that they're supposed to meet as well. And there are good politicians and bad politicians. Right. But James Comey was the senior law enforcement official in all the land. It's different. He knows better, and he's not trying to go away and be quiet and enjoy and embrace his anonymity. As he said in 2018, he's looking for attention. And Jeff, it's just shameless.
All right, let's move on, because he's the former director. The current director, Kash Patel, the current deputy director, Dan Bongino, had, I thought, a really interesting sit-down with Maria Bartiromo over on CNBC. They talked about a lot of things, Jimmy. What sort of stood out to you?
Yeah, I watched that this weekend. It was at 10 o'clock. It was about a 40-minute interview. It had been pre-taped, Jeff. It had been taped, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, and then it aired on Sunday. And I'll say this. You know, I've been agnostic, and I continue to hold out that, you know, I want to give the new administration, the new director and the new deputy director, an opportunity to kind of find their footing. And look, they broke some news. One of the things that they broke news on was the fact that they are looking to get out of the building on Pennsylvania Avenue, just down the street from the White House and just around the corner from the Department of Justice, the main justice building, and they're looking to find a new place to put folks. Yeah. The second is they're moving 1,500 agents and professional support personnel back out to the field. And gosh, Jeff, that has such a familiar ring to it, because when Director Louis Freeh took over in 1994, I remember it. The folks at headquarters were panicked because he sent like 600 FBI supervisors back out to the field. I think that's healthy. I think it's good. I think it sends the right message that, you know, as Director Patel pointed out, look, Washington, D.C. is crime, but we don't need a third of the workforce working in Washington, D.C. We need them out there in the 55 field divisions scattered across the United States. Jeff, I think that's a good thing. I think it's a healthy thing. And, you know, look, there were a number of other things that they brought up in that 40 minutes. And I'm encouraged. I'm hopeful, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, that's good. I think to take those agents, right? They're brick agents, and put them out in those field offices. There's a reason that it's called the field. And what about the new building, though? Because of course, this was a look. I think it's been, and you correct me, but it seems to have been a discussion almost from the time that the Hoover Building opened up. People are saying, yeah, it's outdated, right? Pretty soon after it went up, there was the scuttlebutt, as I understand it. And now, of course, everybody seems to agree it's not a 2025 building in any sense of the word. There has to be some movement. The mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, says, oh, no, you got to stay in the district. I think the president also said he'd like to see them stay in the district. Others are saying, well, you know, the Bureau has always wanted what the CIA got, you know, a farm about 50 miles out of town. They do what they want. Nobody asks them any questions. Where exactly do you think the FBI headquarters winds up when push comes to shove?
Great question. So the little bit of inside baseball here, Jeff, on the background. So, you know, J. Edgar Hoover ran the FBI from 1924 until 1972 when he passed away. And at that time, the new FBI headquarters was already underway. And I forget exactly, maybe it was 73, 74 when the Bureau moved into it. It's a, and look, you know me, I'm not an art guy, but it's a brutalist style building. It really is an eyesore. And I know it's iconic, and I know it's been there, again, you know, now approaching 50 years. But the building was built at a time where file storage was most important and paramount. And what do I mean by that? The FBI, what it does better than any other law enforcement entity is it has the ability to retrieve intelligence and information. And back in those days, Jeff, you had microfiche, but basically everything was in a manila folder and put inside a file cabinet and you needed the space. Mm-hmm. We don't need it anymore. Everything now is on a thumb drive. Everything now is in a computer folder. Everything now is in megabytes. You don't need that kind of space. So, look, could the FBI sell that property and move somewhere else? Well, they tried to under the last FBI director, and there were some issues, you know, determining where it was going to go. Does it stay inside the Beltway? Does it stay in D.C.? Should it move somewhere else?
Yeah.
Me personally, gun to my head, what do I think? Yes, I think it should remain in D.C. There are arguments where, hey, you could put it in Springfield. You could put it in, you know, in some place in Maryland. You know, you don't need to be that close. I like it close to the Justice Department. I like it close to the White House. But you don't need a building that size. And I think you could sell the property for probably $1 billion plus.
Wow.
And then find some other place where you've got fewer, a smaller footprint, and push more of those agents out into the field and still get the same bang for the buck, Jeff. That's the world according to Jimmy Galliano.
Hey, according to the world of Jimmy Galliano, is Quantico close enough?
Yeah, so, you know, Quantico is, what, about 30 miles south on I-95.
Yeah.
Quantico, you know, people think that the FBI has their own property at Quantico. We don't. We are, you know, we rent basically from the United States Marine Corps. We're there, you know, the courtesy of the Marines to allow us to be there. The DEA also has their academy as well.
Yep.
I would hope that stays there. I can't imagine finding any other place or any other facility that could serve the needs of the FBI and the DEA like Quantico does. So they should stay there, and then the FBI should find a place somewhere with inside the Beltway, maybe someplace cheaper and smaller, and make this work.
Fair enough. All right. Now, I don't have the connection, obviously, that you do to the Hoover Building or to the Bureau, but one of the things that has struck me every time I've been there and I've been fortunate enough to visit is that firing range, that range, watching guys qualify, sitting basically in a theater with this huge glass picture window. I just find that amazing. I'm hoping that is reproduced, recreated, wherever it is that the Bureau goes. Let me ask you about the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, my friend. And I have to remind everybody, Jimmy Galliano is joining us. Jimmy is an amazing guy, great man, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. He's also on the board of directors for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, which is needed. I'm sorry to say, but it's needed. Jimmy, explain to everybody why it's needed and how they can help.
I always appreciate you giving me an opportunity to do that, Jeff. And yeah, the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund has been around since probably the mid-90s. It was started by former Attorney General Ed Meese. It's a wonderful organization. I'm humbled to serve as a member of the board of directors. And basically what it does, Jeff, is looks at cases where law enforcement officers, whether it's cops or state troopers or federal agents, have been unjustly accused of a crime. We provide material support, meaning financial support, to help officers that have been suspended or fired, to help put food on the table for them and to pay for their litigation costs. And your listeners can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org, and take a look at some of the cases there. And Jeff, thanks as always for backing the blue. Really appreciate your efforts there.
All right. I appreciate you joining us, brother. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Some great insight there, don't you think? What does Comey really know? What will really happen to Comey? Oh, and here's a few ideas for that Hoover building on Pennsylvania Avenue in D.C. It is 351, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Beautiful Monday afternoon. I'm telling you, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. You do not need the AC on today. It is just like, I don't know, 78, 80. Very, very low humidity, a little bit of a breeze here and there. Man, just open the windows and enjoy it. Take a moment. Yes, this is the shameless plug for myself. Go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. Go on over there and nominate The Jeff Katz Show for the best afternoon radio show. I'd appreciate it. 3D in Hanover hits me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, from some guys I know in Chicago, hey, take him 8 miles out of town and put him 6 feet under. Yep, that's exactly what 86 means. That's exactly what that means in the crime world. You're in the restaurant world, means you're out of something. My brother's a chef. I get it. 86, we don't have it. I'd like the Caesar salad. It's 80, no, it's been 86. We don't have it. Nothing. How about a sandwich? Have a sandwich. Have a sandwich. Okay. Other places, 86 allegedly means replace. All right, I'll take you at your word. But in the world of crime, it means to kill. And this bat crap crazy idea from Comey that he didn't know what it means, well, it's bat crap crazy. 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It's a beautiful Monday afternoon. Newark Airport under a ground delay. Apparently another problem there. You got to fly anywhere that goes through Newark. Don't do it. That seems to be the best advice. That's really going to hurt people who are United flyers, right? That's one of their big hubs. I'm Delta, American, and JetBlue. Although I got news for you. I love Breeze. They don't fly every day, though. It's kind of like, what the heck? Come on, we'll take you where you're going, but we're not going to see you again until Wednesday. Oh, I got to leave on Tuesday. Yeah, I can't help you. We just, Tuesday we're doing something else. We're just not available. So there you have it. But I do like Breeze. I think it's a good outfit. I do. All right. A lot of stuff we are chatting about. A couple of folks have reached out about the ridiculous James Comey nonsense. I mean, he's an absolute buffoon. And questions being raised about his background. One guy, let me just share this text with you. Coming in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, hey, Jeff, Jimmy may have said this, but didn't Comey work organized crime in New York when he was a DA? Well, Comey was never a DA. Comey was always in the federal system. He was always a federal prosecutor. And yes, he absolutely worked organized crime. He was part of the prosecution that brought down the Gambino crime family. So Comey knows exactly what the shorthand is if you're in the mob, because he was involved in prosecuting the mobsters who would say things like 86 so-and-so. 8 miles out of town, 6 feet underground. That's what 86 means in the crime world. So this idea that Comey, who spent his life as a federal prosecutor, anybody remember he was the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, which includes, yes, it's Richmond. That's correct. He's full of crap when he says he didn't know. I didn't know what it meant. How would I know? Well, Mr. Comey, not only were you a career prosecutor, you're also the director of the FBI. I mean, maybe you, didn't mean it. I got a little snippet here. Now, this is from, hang on a second. It is from MSNBC. So, hang on one second. Sip, because otherwise you're going to listen to this and you're going to spit what is ever in your mouth. You're going to spit it at your windshield or your laptop, and then you're going to blame me, and I'm telling you right now, not my fault. So it is a snippet from MSNBC. It's a little longer than you would normally find on this here little program, but you do have to listen to the bat crap craziness on full display. Cut. I didn't remind you. I do want to remind you, I listen to MSNBC. I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. No, really, it is okay. Now, cut number four.
There is a what I would like to think is a pseudo-controversy involving the former FBI director, James Comey, and the shells photo that he took, 8647, and now you've got people screaming at the tops of their lungs that do we have that? Yeah, there it is. And you've got people saying that he's threatening the president's life. Let's play element four. This is the president's reaction to that post that the president gave Fox News yesterday.
He knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant. If you're the FBI director and you don't know what that meant assassination. And it says it loud and clear. Now, he wasn't very competent, but he was competent enough to know what that meant.
Okay, seriously. Come on, this is the man who pardoned January 6th rioters who beat up and hurt, maimed law enforcement officials. So I'm not downplaying whatever concerns he might have about what that meant. But Kimberly, come on now.
Yeah, so I don't think any reasonable person would take that post to mean that the former FBI director is calling for the assassination of the president. That is just not real. On the other hand, Comey is a former FBI director. He's now a private citizen. He's walking on the beat. If you want to snap a picture and send it to your family, your wife,
right?
Really, I mean, it's really improper for a former official to be doing something
That. Yes.
And it's also stupid, given that know that this administration is all about vengeance. It's all about settling scores. And James Comey should know that he would be among the top of the list of people if given a chance. Yeah. The administration would go after. So he should go off as a private citizen, enjoy his life, walk on the beach, and stay out of the chat.
Interesting. Now, they got to take shots at those of us who are concerned when somebody threatens the president. Well, because it's this president. Obviously, if it were involving a different president, they would have a very, 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 very different point of view. You know that, and I know that. But Nonetheless, I will take them at their final word, which is that even they agree that Comey should just go away, that Comey should just shut up, sit down, or sit down and shut up. Again, it's always your choice. I never tell you which one you should do first, sit down or shut up. But those things have to happen, and they can be in whichever order you would like. But you do absolutely, positively have to sit down and shut up. That's all. All right. A lot of other things that we are dealing with. Comey, you may or may not recall, when he was the U.S. attorney for this area, he was all about Project Exile. Remember that? Actually made Richmond safer? Yeah. Comey was a legit prosecutor, and he did handle all the Project Exile stuff. So that's a plus for Comey. I don't want you to think he's always been a buffoon, because he hasn't been. But good Lord, he's just gone totally crazy. And he's all over the place. Did anybody see the strike by the Starbucks nitwits? Oh, no. Is that not their correct title? I thought, no, Germ, it's not nit. Barista. I'm sorry. I thought the actual working title was nitwit. Totally my bad. I apologize. No, the baristas, apparently, 2,000 of them, have gone on strike against Starbucks. Why? Because Starbucks said, we're changing the store uniform. You work in this business, and everybody wears a green apron. And under the apron, at company-operated and licensed stores, you will need to wear a solid black shirt and khaki, black or blue denim bottoms. In the past, the Starbucks The Starbucks baristas, the coffee artistes, wear a broader range of dark colors and patterned shirts. Starbucks, which owns and operates Starbucks and employs the baristas at Starbucks, said the new rules will make the green apron stand out more, create a sense of familiarity, establishing a warmer, more welcoming feel in its stores. Now, not to worry, the coffee will still be bitter and overpriced, but it'll be somewhat nicer, I guess, to look at these people. God. They are upset because they can't wear patterned shirts. Gang, they call it a uniform for a reason. I know most of these people who work at Starbucks wear Garanimals, and for them, they get to mix and match. Oh, look, I'm going to wear a hippo, and I'm going to wear, a hippo. Hippo matches hippo. Exactly. That's what I'm going to wear today. I'll be good. It's a uniform. Uni is the operative part of that word. One. It's all about one. There's one image for every one of you nitwit slash baristas who works at Starbucks. You got to look like every other nitwit slash barista who works at Starbucks. And if you don't like it, go get another job. So far as I can tell, there are no actual staples that are holding you in place, right? You can move freely. Go get another job. One of the Starbucks, I won't call him a nitwit this time, a non-nitwit, said, customers don't care what color our clothes are when they're waiting 30 minutes for a latte. Well, says a lot about the customers when they're waiting 30 minutes for a latte in the first place. I've had your lattes. I wouldn't wait 30 minutes. That's just me. It's 4:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 4:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon. I've not yet touched on the latest Biden situation. I will. Because if you really think that the news of former President Joe Biden having this aggressive form of prostate cancer that has already metastasized to the bones, the release of that information is not somehow, some way, by design, I am sorry to burst your bubble. I can guarantee it is. I never, ever, ever, ever want to beat up on somebody who's dealing with some sort of a terrible health issue. And that is absolutely what Mr. Biden is dealing with. Question becomes, when did he begin dealing with it? Anybody else remember? And Jerm, you may want to dig it up. It shouldn't be that hard to find. 2022, Biden, in a speech, said that he had been diagnosed with cancer. He said that he was diagnosed with cancer. And then very, very quickly, the White House issued a retraction and a correction and said, he misspoke. I don't know about you. That's one of those things I've never misspoken about. I may have misspoken about other things. I don't know how the ground rule double works in baseball. So if I tried to explain it and I screwed it up, well, then I misspoke. Did I mispronounce somebody's name? I guess you could say that's misspeaking. Did I say something at some point where I thought, man, didn't mean to say that? Oh, yeah. You know, you spend 3 hours a day, 5 days a week talking. That happens. But never once in 34 years in this goofy business of talk radio have I said, oh, by the way, I have cancer. Or, oh, by the way, I got diagnosed with cancer. That's just not one of those things you screw up, right? It's 82 degrees. Oh, no, Jeff, look at that thermometer. It's 80 degrees. Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. The forecast for Wednesday is such, for tomorrow is such and such. You know, that's Wednesday. No, Jeff, tomorrow's Tuesday. Sorry, I misspoke. I've been diagnosed with cancer. No. So I personally believed Joe Biden back in 2022 when he said he, in fact, had been diagnosed with cancer. I would be willing to bet that that's when this whole thing started. And like everything else that was involving him, there was a cover-up. There was a cover-up that said, well, we can't possibly allow that terrible, terrible Trump guy to be president again. We'll do anything and everything. All right, Jerm, you got it. Of course you did. I knew you would be able to do it. Let's hear that clip from 2022.
I just, in an apartment complex, we moved to Delaware. And because it was a four-lane highway that was accessible, my mother drove us, and rather than us be able to walk. And guess what? The first frost, you know what was happening. You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, really, have you ever just misspoken when you're talking about cancer? I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt with just about anything. Some complicated medical condition, right? They're all rooted in Latin. This one sounds like that one. Yeah, okay. You screwed it up. I'm willing to let you call the mulligan on that one. But cancer? No. So I do believe that it was 2022 that this all started with him. And given that even the bottom-feeding left-wing pseudo-reporters are now saying, oh, we didn't know what was going on, right? They're full of crap, too. But they are trying to hustle their books, and it's going to make Joe Biden look even worse than Joe Biden already looks. And so now's the time they tell you, oh, Joe Biden has cancer. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. .435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon. It is just lovely. Now, the weather has ticked up. The temperature has ticked up just a little bit. So 82, 83 right now. I don't mean to misspeak. I think I may have said 81 earlier. You know, you say 81 or 82, that's a misspeaking. You could do that. You got diagnosed with cancer. I don't think so. But we'll talk more about that as we head through the afternoon. By the way, coming up at 5:35, buddy of mine, Dr. Brian Snyder, just a solid, solid dude. And he heads up Chronic Care of Richmond as well as a weight loss RBA. And with summertime season right around the corner, I mean, we're talking a week from now. We've got all the neighborhood pools, all the community pools opening up. Everybody's going to want to be looking their best, doing their best. So we're going to chat with Dr. Snyder at 5:35. Just, you know, get a sense of how we can all make a difference in ourselves. And I just think the world of him and Janine and the whole team over there. But that's 535. Also, very, very fond of Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial. Carl has stepped to the plate for myself, for Heidi, for Julia, for the boys as well. But it's Julia that I got to take care of for forever and ever. And Carl said, okay. I'm on board, and he's doing great work for us. I want him to do great work for you. And every Monday afternoon, he joins us with a little bit of insight. Carl, thank you for being here, sir.
Great to join you, Jeff. You're always doing a great job.
You are very kind. By the way, I have nominated Carl Carlson for Best Financial Advisor and Carlson Financial for Best Financial Advice Firm. And, of course, I've shared that on social media. So I want to see you guys take it all this year.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I believe in you. I believe in you. You know, you always come on right after we hear the reports from the stock markets. And some days they're up, some days they're down. And I know we call it what? Volatility sometimes. How important do you think it is when you hear this volatility for folks who have already retired or folks who are getting ready to retire to adjust things, you know, really be proactive?
It's very important. Especially if you're real close to retiring and or retired and you're drawing money from your investments. You know, if you don't need any money from your investments because you have $200,000 federal pension and you spend $100,000, then, you know, volatility won't affect your living style in retirement. So people there could have all their money in a CD, certificate of deposit, if they wanted to. So, or they could have it all at risk in the market. But for those that aren't in that place, which might be many of us, then it becomes important when you're taking money out of your investments to live on, because what you don't want to have happen is you need money out of your investments to live on, the stock market takes a big drop, and now you have to sell things when they're down, and sometimes down significantly, then that's when you take the actual loss. You know, if money goes up and down on the stock market like it does all the time, you're not making money, losing money, making money, losing money. The value of what you have there is going up and down. You don't make the money or lose the money until you sell it.
Right.
So if you're selling it when it's down, you're losing the money, and you'll never get it back again. The key is when you're drawing money from your investments in the stock market, you want to make money, so you sell them when they're up.
Okay.
And then it works great. So how do you position yourself so you don't sell your investments when they're down? That's the key. And I have the answer to that, Jeff.
Well, do tell. Come on. Everybody is waiting here. We've got our pens, our pencils, our electronic notebooks. We're ready. Go for it.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
You figure out how much money you need to take out of your investments annually.
Okay.
Let's say that number is $30,000 a year that you need to take out.
Okay.
You multiply that number times 10. That's $300,000. And that is an easy, rough start for how much money you should have safe and liquid. So liquid means you need about 10% of it per year liquid to draw from it.
Right. Okay.
So $300,000, all of a sudden the stock market goes down. You have enough money there to last 10 years before you have to take money out. So that market can take that long to come back, and that hasn't happened since the Great Depression.
Okay.
The 2008 drop was about 2.5 years before it came back. So some people may not feel so conservative that they want 10 years worth in there, because when you, that's the conservative approach. But when you have money in the conservative, more liquid category, your earnings likely are not going to be as good as if you had the money in the stock market. So that's the downside. You may not want all of your money in these safe products because it can hurt you in the future because you didn't have enough growth money And I would even say the thing to think about, I was just talking to one of our clients the other day who found out that she had lymphoma. And she didn't want to go through the standard, cut it out, and then have all the chemo and radiation. Right. So she found a place with a fairly new, I think it was about 10 years old, treatment they were using that didn't include that. Okay. And where it was a minor version, like 5% of the chemo or something. Okay. She wanted to do that. And the cost for that was $7,500 a week for a minimum of 6 months. Okay. So that's a lot of money, $150,000. A little more than that if somebody's doing exact math on me out there. Yeah. That's a very rough number, but that's an impact. Now, it didn't impact her because about 7 or 8 years ago, she wanted to be all conservative, and I said, you know what? Something can happen where you may need to write a big check. It might be you, could be your kids, and it could be experimental cures that your insurance won't cover. Or maybe you need a big long-term care expense. Let's get some of that money growing and get it in the market. I know it's a little more stressful because it's up and down, but you don't need it. We have your safe money. You can draw from it. And so she did that. And so now today when it's happening, she's got plenty of money there to pay it. So you have to be thinking, I see it all the time. So, you know, I've trained our team to be able to understand that those kind of things can happen. For a lot of people, they're going through this the first time in their life.
Sure.
So we know how to do things proactively to set people up for something that could happen 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, and to set people up for a down in the market. So, oh, no, we just do this now. We switch here. We do that. When the market comes back up, we get some more safe money, and back we go making money out of the up of the stock market. So getting that right, very important, takes some work, takes some understanding, but then you have a ton more confidence going through the ups and downs of the stock market.
Tell me
mostly
about
the
risk.
Mostly the downs.
Mostly, okay. But tell, Carl, tell me about risk itself. How do you say to somebody, look, I don't know, maybe you've got like a gambling mindset, but boy, you've taken on too much risk. Or you say to somebody else on the opposite end, I know you're quiet as a church mouse, you don't want any attention, but you gotta roll the dice a little bit, right? I mean, you gotta navigate some pretty rough straits, I would think.
Yeah, and one of the things that we do with each of our clients, we determine where we think they should be based on what we know. And then we talk to them about where they're at, because if we're recommending a little more in the stock market, they might be like, I don't think I want to. Mm-hmm. So we explain the repercussions of not kind of following what our advice is. And if they're okay with that, then that's fine. But one of the things we do, and say somebody says, well, we want to take a little more risk because we want more money in the future.
Yeah.
Every time something happens, like what just happened recently, when the market took a really quick boom down, mm-hmm. Now it came back almost as quickly, but that shook up people. So now all of our advisors have been instructed when a client comes in, one of the first questions we're going to ask them is, how did that feel? Ooh. Did you feel really stressed going through that little period? Or were you just like, hey, no problem, we got this? And then if someone says, you know, it kind of freaked me out, I was very stressed, I had the phone in my hand trying to call you, and my husband made me put it down, and he talked me off the cliff, and
yep.
But I was so stressed. Well, now then is the time to correct it. Okay, yes. then let's take, now we can sell stuff when it's back up again and move a little bit over to the safe side, so you don't deal with this next time it happens, because we've kind of tested for your uncle point when you finally right. say, I can't do it. I got to get out and sell.
Yeah.
So okay. That's a little bit of the process.
Man, it's interesting stuff. And I can only begin to imagine the way that some people call you every day, go, man, it's up, it's down, it's sideways, you got to do this, you got to do that, and others, not necessarily more trusting, but just more reserved, saying, hey, I hired Carlson Financial for a reason. I'm not my area of expertise, not my bailiwick. They know what they're doing. They got to do it for us.
We have a plan. We've seen it work in the past. It gets we get through, and over the years you get a lot more comfortable too with the plan and the confidence in the plan and how everything's working. Yep. So the key is just get started.
Yeah,
get started and figure it out.
That's what I want people to do. I, of course, have had people download that retirement toolkit from connectwithcarlson.com, and everybody's got questions after they go to connectwithcarlson.com. So, Carl, I ask you to let everybody know the best way to get in touch with the team over there at Carlson Financial.
Call us at 844-CARLSON, or you can reach out through our website at carlsonfinancial.com.
I love it. You're the best, my friend. I appreciate you being here. That is Carl Carlson. He is my financial advisor. By the way, I'm in the latter category. I do not call and annoy Carl. Every once in a while, I will send him a text that reminds him, buy low, sell high. But, you know, other than that, that's it. He's the guy. 447, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Lots of great stuff we have to deal with. Now, some of the stuff is kind of disappointing. And it's disturbing, right? Former President Joe Biden's cancer has just been officially announced. A whole slew of doctors are saying there's just no way this has happened in the last couple of days or a couple of months or even in a year. So we'll talk about that. And we're going to have a few tips for really getting ready for summertime. Reminder to you, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., would you please join Rich Herrera, who is the host of Richmond's Morning News. Good dude. I certainly am enjoying him. Hope you'll listen as well. 455, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 505, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. So the mayor says, hey, it's another screw up. Hey, really, you know, it's nothing I could do.
Why are you mayor then?
I mean, honestly, if your default position all the time is, there's nothing I can do, maybe you should have somebody in the mayor's office who says, ooh, I think there's something I can do. Good Lord, he's a... I mean, I know, he seems to be a very nice guy. Right now, when everybody... Well, no, I don't want to go full maroon just yet, simply because, I mean, he's a medical doctor. He's smarter than I am. And if he's a maroon, what the hell am I? So, no, but God, dude, you got a man up here. Are we allowed to say that anymore, or is somebody going to get offended?
No, he said, man up. What about those people who are,
shut up if you're those people. That's all I'm saying. No, just man up, man. Just do something. Take a stand. Really, you can do it. You can do it. I think you can do it. I think I can. Joe Biden has cancer. All right. Does anybody wish cancer upon him? No, of course not. And if you do, you're a horrible human being. The rest of us are sitting back and saying, gosh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that the former president has cancer, but I do find the timing rather suspect. Because we had all been talking about his mental decline through the years, the self-serving, sanctimonious, left-wing, pseudo reporters are now hawking books that are hitting the stands, if you will, momentarily. That will describe what a buffoon and a decrepit excuse Joe Biden was all along. And how the Democrats and the very people who wrote these books covered up for Joe Biden. But in the middle of it, a cancer diagnosis is released, which is designed, in my opinion, to get people to stop talking about the Joe Biden situation. Let me give you an example. Remember David Axelrod, a political operative for Barack Obama? Take a listen to cut number 7.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think those conversations are going to happen, but they should be more muted and set aside for now as he's struggling through this. It shouldn't be stunning because prostate cancer is so common mm-hmm. among men at his stage in life. Most men, if they live long enough, deal with prostate cancer. But and it's great news that they think that it's manageable, but jarring nonetheless. You know, the thing, Fred, is that people who serve in these offices, they sort of become embedded in our lives. And, you know, and this is a reminder that that no one's immortal. And so it's jarring. And I had the opportunity to serve with Vice President Biden for 2 years in the White House. I was around when some of the...
That's enough with him already. All right, the important part happened at the beginning. Oh, well, now we shouldn't be talking about what a grossly incompetent boob he was. All right, got it. Tell me that it was mistaken. Oh, speaking of grossly incompetent boobs, everybody remember Mr. Potato Head, Brian Stelter from CNN? He's kind of sort of back. And guess what? Yes, he has an opinion on this. Shocked, I know. Cut number 5.
CNN chief media analyst Brian Stelter is joining us now. And Brian, thanks for jumping on with us. Look, this is breaking news that came just about 2 hours ago, and it is now rippling through, television media, online. How are people consuming this? How is it reaching people?
And, you know, I'm seeing some prostate cancer survivors, people who have lived with this disease, who have been through this, expressing support, both condolences, but also support and cheering Biden on as he faces this. The timing, Jessica, is just extraordinary. We mm-hmm. know from the statement from his personal spokesman that Biden learned the diagnosis on Friday. Well, what was the biggest Biden story on Friday? It was the release of those audio excerpts from his conversations with Robert Herr back in 2023. This was the audio that Axios obtained, almost certainly from the Trump administration, showing memory lapses. And you heard a lot of people on Friday talking about that audio being hard to hear, even excruciating to hear, Biden showing his age on those audio tapes that had never been heard by the public until now. So on the day that story was breaking, Biden was facing this personal news, at least that's according to the statement from his personal spokesman. So you have that as one element of the timing here. And then you have, as you and Paul just acknowledged, this book coming out, one of the biggest political books in several years. Take out our colleague Jake Tapper for a second. This book, no matter where it was coming from, was going to be a very big blockbuster book. And it just so happens two of the best reporters in Washington, Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, are the authors of it. It's already a bestseller based on the number of pre-orders. And so this book comes out in 2 days, but some of the excerpts have already come out. And it's reignited this debate in Washington and beyond within the Democratic Party about Biden, about whether he should have run for re-election at all. So it seems to me, Jessica, this debate doesn't end at all, but it is briefly put on pause as a result of today's news.
Absolutely. And as people...
Is it put on pause, Brian? Is that what we're doing? I don't intend to put it on pause. I can, at the same time that I offer sympathies and prayers for Joe Biden, point out what a despicable period of time his administration was. What a terrible period of time it was for the United States of America. I do find it interesting. I mentioned at the very beginning of this program that over the weekend, I'm looking at my friend John Reed's social media stuff, and John was talking about this Herr conversation with Biden, pointing that out, posting it, commenting, blah, 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 blah. And one of the local news readers, who I guess must hate John, I don't know. I mean, I really don't. I don't know any of the ins and outs of the TV news reading world. I have no interest in that. None. So anyway, but this guy apparently reads the news, and he doesn't like John. And so he was all over John this past weekend. And I thought, why? I did. I actually said out loud after reading one of these ridiculous posts, I said, well, why are you doing that? And then I began to see, oh, so John had posted whatever he posted. And I'm just giving you numbers so you understand. Say 10 o'clock in the morning. And then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the story about the cancer is released. And this guy who's knocking John, I mean, really nasty and vicious and just totally just not based in any sense of reality that I could see. You know, how dare you do this? It was the tone. And there were a lot of people pointing out, hey, you know, John posted this hours before this other story came out. He wasn't in any way trying to take away from the cancer story. It was another story. It's just bizarre. So I don't know. Is it just this left wing passion for covering for other left wingers? Is it a hatred for John? Could be. Is it a hatred for John because he's a conservative and a Republican? Maybe. And why, if you are reading the news, I mean, when I watch people every once in a while reading the news, I shouldn't really know what their opinions are, right? Or shouldn't they just be reading the news to me if I'm watching TV news? If you're watching TV news, do you expect to know what the person's beliefs are? Or do you expect the person who is the news reader on television to have at least the ability to pretend that he's impartial, even if he isn't? It struck me as so bizarre. I want to remind you, closer and closer we get to Memorial Day, please do not wish anyone a happy Memorial Day. This is one of my pet peeves. People do it every year. Have a happy Memorial Day. All right, well, you just have a barn burner of a funeral then, okay? Because that's what you're saying. It's just wrong. It's also not the day to thank people for their service or to thank people who are serving. There are separate holidays. Veterans Day and Armed Forces Day. I mean, this really, honest to goodness, is about people who made that ultimate sacrifice. So please, no happy Memorial Days. That's all I'm asking you. We are going to chat with a buddy of mine, Dr. Brian Snyder. We'll do that at 5:35 from Chronic Care of Richmond Weight Loss RBA. Hey, the pool is opening in a week. And there are a lot of people saying, uh-oh, I got to put on a swimsuit. I'm going to go to the pool. All right. Brian Snyder probably has a tip or two on how to get yourself into some better shape. I need the best plaque maker in Central Virginia. And I know that this sounds absolutely crazy as one who has redubbed the Plaque Shack and is trying to remove a number of plaques because I want more photos of things that happen with people. But I am starting a new award. That's all I'm going to say. I will not give you too many details, but I'm starting a new award, and it is going to require the creation of a beautiful plaque for the first recipient. So I need the best plaque maker in Central Virginia to handle the assignment. If you have any suggestions, please text them on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And no, I'm not asking anybody for a freebie. We will absolutely pay top dollar. We want the best plaque made by the best plaque maker in Central Virginia for this new special award that I will be telling you about in the weeks and weeks to come. 833-804-1140. You've got a suggestion. You know somebody at some trophy shop that you're telling me is the best. If you've got a best plaque maker you've used, again, 833-804-1140. 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. It is gorgeous, by the way. I don't know if you've had the chance to get outside throughout the day. If you haven't, man, you got to do it. You have got to do it. And if all you can do is open a window, you know what you should do? Open the window. Humidity is low. Little teeny weeny bit of a breeze. Temperature not bad. This is a day to be sitting out on the deck. Tell you that. Not that I want to wrap this up quickly, but I'm looking at the math here. Yeah, 42 minutes from now, happy hour commences. So if you're,
you're in the neighborhood, drop by. Oh, a quick warning, if you are playing the 18th in Hanover, you are enjoying selections from Ralph's World. If you're hearing the music and thinking, huh, I have no idea what that is, because, well, I just don't know what it is. It's Ralph's World. Ralph, I assume Ralph is still doing kids' music. It's been around for a while, but you'll hear some good stuff with Ralph's World. You actually will. And Julia's outside enjoying the weather, which means you get to enjoy a little Ralph's World. Jeremy is actually being abusive towards me. I think we ought to call somebody. I'll call you, Jeremy. Jeremy said, Jeff, how is it possible for you to have like 5,000 flipping plaques on your wall and you don't even know of a local plaque maker? Jerm, I don't turn the plaques over. I don't care about what's on the back. What's on the back is not going to help my low self-esteem or insecurity. It's the front of the plaque telling me how great I am. Why on earth would I ever turn the plaque over? Let's take a listen to a little Jake Tippity Tapper. Cut number three, please.
And a small secretive group of advisors kept his worried cabinet in the dark. The presidency requires someone who can perform at 2 a.m. during an emergency. Cabinet secretaries in his own administration told us that by 2024, President Biden could not be relied upon for that. And yet, until the debate and even weeks after, those in power stayed quiet. They were convinced that they were saving the country from the existential threat of Donald Trump as they saw it, and that only Biden could beat Trump. But instead, what they did was they paved the way for that which they feared the most. Indeed, for those who tried to justify the behavior described in our book, because of the threat of a second Trump term, those fears should have shocked them into reality, not away from it.
Dude, you were part of the cover-up. You are as guilty as all of these people you are trying to blame. And I know your book is going to sell a lot and you're going to pocket a whole bunch of money, but you still ought to be ashamed of yourself. It is 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 535, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. It is absolutely glorious. It really is. If you have not taken the opportunity at some point today to get outside, got sunlight for the next couple of hours, get out there. If nothing else, open up the window. Temperatures are manageable. The humidity is, it's friendly. That's all I'm going to say. It's not going to be like that forever, as you know, but today's the day. Today's the day because we've got rain moving in tomorrow. I am right across from our community pool. I have seen them working hard to get it up and running. It'll open, of course, a week from today. Memorial Day is when it's going to open. Memorial Day weekend. Maybe it even opens this Saturday. I better check. And there are a lot of people who right about now are going, what the heck am I going to do? I got to put on a bathing suit. I'm going to wrap the towel around me. That's it. I just wrap the towel around me and nobody even know I'm there. It's like, no, listen. Been there, done that. Now, I've been talking about Weight Loss RBA for, I think it's 5 years now. Did the Weight Loss RBA program. You know this. I dropped 29 pounds in just about 30 days. This is the program that's helping people drop 20 to 40 pounds in just about 60 days. And you can truly, honest to goodness, get yourself into some degree of shape for the summer. So rather than me talk about it, I said, let me reach out. Dr. Brian Snyder is the guy behind Chronic Care of Richmond and Weight Loss RV. His lovely bride, Janine Snyder, a marvelous human being. She handles a lot of the educational portion of it. And we actually have both of them joining us this afternoon, which is a big treat. Good afternoon, Snyders.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
We're nice. Honored to be back on your show again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's wonderful, wonderful to hear your voices. I want to know, as we trying to help people get ready for the summer, deal with some aches and pains, maybe drop a couple of pounds. What is it, honestly, that prompted you two to have Chronic Care of Richmond on one side, Weight Loss RVA on the other? How does that work together?
Well, that's a great question, Jeff. At Chronic Care Richmond, we focus on non-drug, non-surgical approaches to help those that have chronic joint pain and neuropathy, which is nerve damage. And we use different therapies, advanced therapies like red light therapy, tissue regeneration, PRP, platelet-rich plasma, rehab protocols, decompression, lots of different things that we do to help restore function for those that are dealing with issues like terrible back issues, neck issues, shoulder issues, knee issues, hip issues, all of those things. We also incorporate weight loss RVA. Well, we put that together because that's our weight loss program, and that's our metabolic health and nutrition clinic, where we guide with people that sustain sustainable science-based weight loss programs that can help include personalized nutrition for our certified health coaches and lifestyle support. And we use also something you know about, Jeff, is infrared or invisored radiotherapy.
Yeah. Well, listen, one of the things that I love about Weight Loss RBA, and I've shared this with everybody for years, is that basically everybody in the office, it seems to me, has been on the Weight Loss RBA program, has had success, has their own personal story, and now you've incorporated Invisired. So, Janine, let me ask you, because the last time I was over there, you guys had one of these great open house educational things, and you were kind of talking about your adventure, and we've all got them. Each and every one of us who's dealt with weight through the years has got them. So what is it that stands out to you with Weight Loss RBA and the whole program you guys have?
Well, I'm going to let Janine go over that because it's her deal right here.
Well, you know, Jeff, we incorporated the weight loss because it's a beautiful complement to what we've been doing for years in the integrated medical space, and that's with the peripheral neuropathy, the chronic joint pain, those conditions. What people don't understand is a lot of that is caused by inflammation. It's the root of and we can talk about nerve pain, joint stiffness, sleep problems, all of those, but the missing piece was nutrition. And being able to find a way to fill that gap so that people could understand the direct correlation between nutrition and their condition allowed us to help treat them more efficiently, more effectively, and let them achieve even better results. So the reason for adding that in was not only so that our community could also enjoy the benefits of weight loss, but the intended consequences of the program is just overall better health and better results from the treatments that we have to offer.
I love that. So a lot of crossover then between Weight Loss RBA and Chronic Care of Richmond, Chronic Care of Richmond and Weight Loss RBA.
Yes.
Love it. I love it. What about, look, I went through Weight Loss RBA, as you know, and I've been talking about it for years and years, and I'm always thrilled when I deal with other people that have been through it, and everybody talks about how wonderfully it worked. What is it, do you think, that makes it so effective?
Personally, you know, having done, as you mentioned, Brian and I had both tried the program, as well as many people in our practice before we offered it to the community, and the main reason is because, you know, given some of the things that we've been hearing over the past year or more with medication, some injections, is that it's sustainable. And our goal is to help people understand that food is fuel and that what we can do is create sustainable results, because we don't just want to see you 3 months from now and be like, wow, you look great and you feel great. We want to see you 3 years from now, because that's really our goal, is in order to create something sustainable so that you have the education, you can move forward. And really, this will be the last thing that you do for the rest of your life in order to better your health and not only just lose the weight, but, you know, just feel great in general.
I think it is so cool. I had some company over yesterday, and we were just sitting around and we're talking about stuff, and one of the folks who was here said, hey, I've heard you talking about Invisired, so explain it to me, and will it work on, and she mentioned, you know, that stubborn fat, I think she said in her, well, wherever she said it was, well, you know, how do I get, is that going to work on that? And I was like, hey, not the expert, so I got the experts here. I went through Invisired, and I number one, it was just a hoot going in when I went in, because everybody there is just so positive and on your side and all that good stuff. But the inches, right? I wasn't necessarily looking at the scale, but I was looking at the fact that finally, as Heidi reminded me, you'd better buy new pants or a new belt or they're going to lock you up because your pants are just going to fall down. It's going to be embarrassing. Give everybody a little insight on Invisired. What exactly is it and how does this stuff work so well?
Well, you, Jeff, had phenomenal results. You came to all of your appointments, and you obviously have the nutritional piece with that too. So we added the Invisired because we had so many patients that were wanting a complement to their nutrition. Maybe they had some extra skin. Maybe for women, they had some stretch marks, either from birth or from weight loss, men too. And they wanted to tighten up loose some inches. So we brought that in as a compliment because we were getting feedback from our patients that this is what they wanted. It's been a great addition to our practice, not to mention the fact that combining the red light therapy with the infrared therapy, there's so many great health benefits from that, including increasing circulation, decreasing inflammation, and pushing energy ATP into your cells, shrinking fat cells. There's so many different great benefits to that aside from what you're seeing physically. So it just fits completely perfectly into our already holistic view on how we treat health.
And I want to remind everybody, and you tell me if I'm missing anything, but FDA approved, right? The only device out there that has that FDA approval?
Correct. Yes, this is FDA approved, and it is something that we have lots of clinical trials, which helped us want to choose this specific device. But the results we're seeing from our patients just secures the fact that this is really something that's changing the people in our community.
I love it. Dr. Brian Snyder is joining us along with his lovely bride Janine Snyder. They are the great folks behind not just Weight Loss RBA, but Chronic Care of Richmond. Doc, let me ask you about what it was that motivated you, because you have spent a lifetime pursuing these treatments, these solutions for these sorts of problems. So what was it that said to you a long time ago, this is going to be my space?
Well, great question. Yes, been in practice for 23 years now. And started off just doing some chiropractic care, and then got involved with integrative care, and got involved with lots of different modalities. Just what I found was with chiropractic is a wonderful benefit, but I couldn't help everybody. So 7-8 years ago, that's when ten years ago. We brought in a nurse practitioner, brought in some other medical folks to come in to help us figure out how we could help other patients that outside of chiropractic. Wow. It's been years and years and years. And I also had a chronic issue that happened to me 20 years ago, and it. I ended up having a massive stroke at only 31 years old, and it was a bad situation. And I went through a lot of functional medical doctors that were able to help guide me, other than just the standard medications. I know that it was transformative to me, and I know that it could help other people too. So it's just been year after year after year of just building and adding and building and adding to add all these different services that could to really be a benefit for patients, that it's a non-drug, non-surgical approach. Rather than just masking them with symptoms, we actually want to heal and restore and make those changes for those people and actually get their lives back like I got my life back.
I mean, it truly is that holistic approach. I think the world of you guys. I think the world of the team over there. I want to remind everybody, Weight Loss RBA, big winner last year, Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of Competition. I've nominated you guys again this year, and we'll be urging people to vote for you. I tell folks about both Chronic Care of Richmond and Weight Loss RBA just about every day. For them to get in touch with you or maybe learn a little bit more, what do you suggest? What's the best thing?
So at our practice, we do offer free consultations for our weight loss program. We do also have new patient specials for the chronic pain of peripheral neuropathy. Our website is loaded with lots of information on what we do and how to become a patient. We do also offer educational seminars. As you know, Jeff, you are a great friend of ours personally as well as of the practice, and you came to share your story, and we're so grateful for that. So we do have a seminar this Thursday at 6 o'clock for peripheral neuropathy, but we also hold other seminars. You know, we really just want to educate the community to let them know that they have choices in their health care. They have choices when it comes to making the decisions for what is best for them. We just want to make sure that they know what those choices are. Obviously, chroniccarerichmond.com, weightlossrva.com. And honestly, for any of your listeners, if they just want to reach out to the office, call, text, Brian and I would be happy to speak with them personally, answer any questions that they have, just because we're passionate about making sure that we are doing our due diligence in our community.
You are the best. We love you. We'll talk again soon. That is Dr. Brian Snyder. That is Janine Snyder, two of the finest people that I know, and they have devoted their lives to helping other great people in our community. I'm very happy with everything that I have encountered at both Chronic Care of Richmond as well as Weight Loss RVA. I've been a patient over there for a long time. Think the world of them, think the world of the practice, and would urge you to check them out. Again, chroniccareofrichmond.com, weightlossrva.com. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Did it involve me? Was I there? Did you, like, confuse me with that's what it was, wasn't it? I knew it. You confused me with Valentino because I was right there at the crystal blue Italian. No? Okay. Taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 804 says, kudos to you, Jeff, for calling out the hateful Facebook message on John Reed's page by that local newsreader. Mr. Local Newsreader just lost any respect that I may have had for him. We love John and will continue our support for him. Thank you, Jeff. Well, yeah, I love John, too. I mean, John's a friend. That's it. Jeff, what is the name of the company that built Heidi's musical chalet? It is called Picture Perfect Sheds. PicturePerfectSheds.com is where you can find him. Ryan Porter is my guy over there. Can I share one quote with you? It happened yesterday, and it was really, really, really cool. We had some guests over. I mean, Saturday we wound up, since Heidi was not out of town as she was supposed to be, we actually were able to go over to a birthday party for a friend of ours. Her husband threw up just, oh, man, barn burner of a party. It was great. So we did that. We were seated with some really fascinating people. Did you ever get one of those where you're thinking, huh, this was so worth the trip, right? I mean, everything was worth it. But then you're seated next to people that you never would have met otherwise. And we had a great time. And then Sunday, since she was home, we were able to invite some other people over. And one of the people sitting at the bar having dinner said, you know what this is? This is so great. This is a semi-circle of happiness. And I thought, well, how cool is that? I'm putting that in the win column. Hey, have a fantastic evening. Go out and enjoy the weather that God has bestowed. God willing, you and I get the chance to do it all again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.